Good morning, everyone. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll get there in a moment. As Pastor Dave said, I'm indeed walking gingerly this morning. The fair yesterday was a lot of fun, but it was hard work. Dave, Ron, and I were on the axe throwing, not real axes, but plastic axes. And some of the kids were good, but to be honest, how do I put this kindly? Most of them sucked. And so Dave, Ron, and I spent the entire afternoon picking up axes off the floor. I must have done about 1,000 squats, so I'm feeling it this morning. This morning we come to the end of our series on the book of Philippians. Our series called Sunny Side Up. And in the series we've been looking at Paul's letter to the Christians in this ancient city of Philippi. And in this letter, we've seen that Paul addresses five areas of spiritual maturity. He talks about perseverance. He talks about serving others. He talks about faith and unity and generosity. And Paul makes the point that it's not just those areas that show spiritual maturity, but rather it's joy in each of those areas that is actually the sign of spiritual maturity. This morning, we're going to look at the importance of giving with joy. So let's read together Philippians chapter 4 from verse 10 to 19. Paul writes, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." For this morning, just as we look at just this topic of giving with joy, won't you help us just to see how important that is? And also just to see how much you have given us with joy. Oh, yeah, we ask that you speak to us this morning. Amen. So this morning we come to the end of our series, as I said. And this morning we're looking at the final element that Paul addresses in this letter to the Christians in Philippi. And that is the topic of joy in giving, giving with joy. And we've left this topic for last. And we've done that importantly because it's the very purpose of the letter. This letter is Paul writing to the Christians in Philippi to thank them for the aid that they have sent him. This is essentially a first century thank you card that he's sending to the Christians to say, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving. Thank you for your aid. Now, before we dive into why giving with joy is so important, I just want to double-click on three truths that I want us to keep in mind when it comes to giving with joy. And the first truth is this. Giving is not about the giver. Giving is not about the giver. So in this letter to the Christians in Philippi, there's actually something that's missing. Something that you might think should be there, but it's not there. Paul had visited these Christians about 10 years earlier. And he knew them well, and he had a very close relationship with them. It was about AD 51 on his second missionary journey, where he spends about 3 months in Philippi. And the book of Acts, Luke records this event. We're told that Paul goes down to the river in Philippi, and he's looking for people to preach to, and he comes across these ladies who are worshiping at the river. And then Luke records this. Luke says, "One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." So what do we know about Lydia? We know she was wealthy. She dealt in purple linen, purple cloth. At the time, it was incredibly expensive to make the color purple, and you needed to be very wealthy to trade in it and buy. And if you traded in it, you certainly became wealthy. It was a sought-after commodity. We know that she's generous. She supports Paul and Timothy's ministry. She's generous towards them. And we know she's hospitable, because Paul and Timothy and the crew stay with her for the time that they are in Philippi. And after they leave, she becomes the host of the first church in Philippi. So they meet in her home. And so we've got this prominent figure in the city of Philippi. She's generous. She's wealthy. She's hospitable. And it's safe to assume that if there was a gift collected to go to Paul, that she would have contributed, and probably contributed quite a bit. But what's missing? Her name. She's not mentioned at all. Why? Because giving is not about the giver. It's not about the giver. Secondly, we must keep in mind that giving with joy is the hardest to do. Giving is hard because it costs you. Giving always costs you, whether it's time or money or resources. Giving will always cost you. You have, and then you don't. You have access to, and then you don't. You possess something, and then someone else possesses it. Giving is hard because it costs you. In fact, if it doesn't cost you, by definition, it's not giving. So giving is hard. I know we say to our kids, sharing is caring, but none of them are ever happy about it, right? None of them go, "I love sharing," right? And then thirdly, I just want us to keep in mind that this sermon is not about asking you to give or trying to get you to give more. It's just a reminder that giving is a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. Giving is always associated with the heart. It's a heart issue above everything else. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, so we're going to jump into why we should give with joy. But first, let's ask and answer the obvious question, and it's this. How do we know the Philippians gave with joy? How do we know that they didn't give out of a sense of obligation? Oh, Paul again needs help. All right, we better send something, otherwise he's going to write a nasty letter to us. Like, let's just get him some aid. How do we know they didn't do that? Well, for two reasons. We know that because Paul describes their gift as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. It would not be pleasing to God if it was not given with joy. There's another little way that we can tell that Paul knew that they gave with joy, and it's in this way. Paul uses an odd term. Paul says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." Now, this word renewed is quite unique, and it's only found in this verse in the Bible and nowhere else. And Paul decides to not use the standard Greek word for renewed. Instead, he uses a very deliberate word, and the word is thello. And in thello, the word thello in Greek mythology, thello was the goddess of spring, the goddess of buds, the goddess of new flowers. Think about the seasons. Which season brings you the most joy? Spring after winter, right? And so Paul is deliberately using a different word. He's pointing out that their gift was like spring. It was winter, and suddenly the buds have appeared. The leaves are starting to grow. It's time for spring. So, why should we give with joy, according to Paul in this letter? First reason is this. We give with joy because when we give with joy, our attention is directed to God. We give with joy because doing so directs our attention to God. Remember the definition of joy. There was kind of our working definition from the very first sermon. We kind of worked backwards. We said we have kairo, the verb, we rejoice, we show joy, we manifest joy, kairo, because we have kara, joy in our hearts. And we have this joy in our hearts because of the charis of God, the grace, the mercy of God. And so we have God's grace. And because of God's grace, we can have joy. And because we have joy, we rejoice. And when we rejoice, we go back to remembering God. This positive feedback loop. And that's exactly what Paul wants us to know. When he talks directly about this gift, look what he says. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. He doesn't say, I rejoiced in you and your generosity. He doesn't say, I rejoiced for myself that my needs have been met. What does he say? He says, I received your gift and I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. And this is so important. Not just for the receiver of the gift, but more importantly, for the giver of the gift. When we give with joy, we rejoice in God that we're able to give with joy. And then we're reminded that we give because he was generous towards us. And then this reminds us that the gift we gave that came from God wasn't even ours to start with. It wasn't even ours to begin with. Paul makes this point to the church in Corinth twice. In his first letter to them, he writes, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? And then later in his second letter to the Christians in Corinth, Paul says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. So then in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And King David makes the same point when he's building the temple. He's gathering resources to build the temple. And in the book of Chronicles, we read that David starts this process of getting people to give for the temple. And he starts off by making a statement, and he says, with all of my resources I gave. And then he starts to list them. So David starts off by saying, my resources, right? But then there's a little tweak, because he suddenly adds the perspective that it's not really his resources to begin with. David says, he says, Lord, you, the greatness and the glory and the majesty are yours. Heaven and earth are yours. And then he says this, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And then this, but who am I? Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We give with joy because joy, giving with joy, directs our focus, our attention on the ultimate generous giver of all, our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, we're reminded that every blessing we have, everything we're able to give, wasn't ours to start with. Second reason that we give with joy is this, because giving with joy reflects God's generous heart toward us. When we give with joy, we're mirroring what God already has done for us. Look at the gift, how Paul speaks about it. Paul says, your gift is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Now that phrase, a fragrant offering, is actually very, very important, and it's easy to skip over it. Because Paul uses that term, fragrant offering linked with sacrifice, only one other place in all of his letters. And when he does that, he's not talking about us giving to each other or to him. He's talking about the gift of Jesus Christ. So to the church in Ephesus, Paul says this. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And later on, the author of Hebrews is going to link that sacrifice to joy. The author of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We give with joy because giving with joy, it's just a reflection of God's generous heart towards us, that God gives us with joy. Third reason we give with joy is this, because giving with joy is good for us. It's good for us. Okay, now, whenever I say something like this, I have to pause and just clarify. This is not name it and claim it theology, okay? I'm not saying if you give $100, you're going to get $200 back. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that the biblical principle is that when we are generous, it's good not only for the people receiving the gift of generosity, but it's good for us. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything other than that. And we give with joy because there are benefits to giving. There are benefits in the life to come, and we'll get there, but there are benefits in this life. There are benefits to giving this side of heaven. Solomon puts it this way. He says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Listen to what Solomon says. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Paul gives a command to the Christians in Corinth, and it's a verse we know well. But there's a word in it that we kind of miss out, and it's a word that just describes kind of the feeling in a person's heart when they're able to give with joy. It's that famous verse that Paul says. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word for cheerful is the word hilaros. Anybody want to guess what English word we get? Hilarious. This is not a, God loves a smiling giver, a happy giver. Hilarious. That joy. Have you ever been, laughed so much at something hilarious and not felt joy? It's good, right? In fact, a little while ago, there was some research done by some universities in the States. And what they discovered is they gave it a term called helper's high. Helper's high. And what they said is when people give generously to others who need, it actually causes a surge of all of the emotions that give us good feelings. We get a helper's high from helping others. They're helped by what we can generously give them, but we experience joy as well. It's good for us. But there's also heavenly rewards. There's rewards the other side of this life. Because he's talking about a financial gift, Paul uses a financial analogy. He says this, he says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account." So what he says, not that I seek the gift, it's not about the gift, I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. Paul describes this image of taking dollars out of one account on earth and it goes up in your account in heaven. You've got this physical account and then the spiritual account, and there's a link between them. Jesus himself said this. He said, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rusts cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal." We give with joy because it's good for us. And the fourth and final reason we give with joy is because giving with joy unites us with a common goal. Giving with joy brings us together with a common purpose. Paul starts this letter of thanks and he uses a very deliberate word. It's a very, very intentional word. Paul says this, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." This word for partnership is such an important New Testament word. It's the word koinonia, koinonia. And koinonia is not just a word, it's a concept. The word describes people who have something in common, whether it's family or soldiers or supporters of a political party, whatever it is, koinonia describes people that are together with the same common purpose. It means to be on a team. It means to care for each other. It means to do things together. It means to have one common goal. Dr. Luke describes to us the early church, and he says this. He says, talking about these early Christians, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship." It's that word, koinonia. "They devoted themselves to koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." One of the better translations, there's only two other translations that translate this word differently. Instead of fellowship or partnership, there are two scriptures who I think do a better job of translating this. One is a New American Standard, and they say this, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." See, it describes more, right? It's not just partnership, it's participation. We're doing this together. Later in the letter, Paul uses a superlative to almost emphasize this word participation, and he uses it twice to emphasize it even more. And he says this. He says, "It was good of you to share, to participate in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared, participated with me in the giving of in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you." Listen what Paul doesn't say. Paul does not say, he does not say that your gift supported me. He does not say that your gift sponsored me. He doesn't say your gift allowed me to do the work. He doesn't say that your financial gift let me do what needed to be done. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say sponsored. He doesn't say shared. What does he say? He said, your gift participated in what I was doing. See, this is a spiritual truth we need to actually grasp. Giving is equal to doing. Giving is equal to doing. Giving is on par with doing. Giving is as important as doing. Now again, just clarification. Giving is not a replacement for doing. Okay? And as pastors, we want you to do both. Giving is not a replacement. But Paul says giving is participating. Giving is doing what I'm doing. He doesn't say I did it and you paid for it. He says we did it. We did it. And the reason I tell you this is because often we minimize how important giving is. Do you know how many times someone will say to me, you know, Darren, I'm older, I can do a lot, I can only give a little bit of money. And I'm always like, that's not what you're doing. You know the money that you give? That's participating. You're doing as much as the person who's out there doing it, because that's what Paul says. It's participation. My family is nuts about soccer. Crazy about soccer. Now, I say soccer, but I just need to, let's just set the record straight. It's football, okay? All right, it's football, not soccer. Like, there's a foot kicking a ball, not a hand throwing an egg, okay? It's football, North America, learn the word. But I'll say soccer for your benefit, okay? At the World Cup, once the team has won, the team gets given medals, winners' medals, that get given to the team to hand out. There are 11 players on a field with 5 reserves. They do not get given 16 winners' medals. You know why? Because they get medals to give to the coaches. They get medals to give to the physios. They get medals to give to the sports conditioning coaches. They get medals to give to the water boy. They get medals to give to the board that oversees that team. Everyone who participates gets a medal. Why? Because if you sent 15 players with none of that support, what are their chances of winning the World Cup? Zero. Right? Right? Giving is participating. Last week, I had the worst kind of flu. It wasn't COVID. It wasn't bird flu. It wasn't swine flu. It wasn't SARS. I came down with a serious case of man flu. Man, I thought I was going to die, and then I wished I was. It was awful, terrible, man flu, horrible. And Pastor Matt asked me on Tuesday, should I preach for you? I'm like, no, I got this on Wednesday. No, I got this on Thursday. Do you want me to preach for you? I'm like, no, I got this on Friday morning. Do you want me to preach for you? No, I've got this Friday evening. Pastor Matt, can you preach for me on Sunday? So Pastor Matt steps up here without his Google Translate and preached for me. Now that is an obvious example of someone participating with me in the gospel, right? Right? It's obvious. You can see it. I was unable to be here. Pastor Matt stepped up and preached because I couldn't. Participation. But why can Pastor Matt dedicate his life to serving you and serving God? Why? Because you give. Because you give. And when you gave last month, you know what you did? You participated in helping me out that I, because I couldn't preach. It wasn't just Pastor Matt who participated in the gospel with me. It was all of you. Because giving is on par with doing. Giving, it's more than partnership. It is participation. So what? I want you to do one thing for me this week. I want you to take just a little bit of time during the week to just meditate on all that God has given you and the ability that you have, regardless of the size of the gift, but the ability you have to contribute to His work as participants. And I just want you to be grateful. I just want you to be grateful. I'm not asking you to give. I'm not asking that at all. I'm asking you to be grateful and to realize how important giving is. Because it's so much more than just handing over a check. It is participation in the gospel. Father, we thank you that we have the gospel only because you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you for your tremendous generosity towards us, your heart of mercy and grace that is just inclined toward us. We thank you that we can only give back what you have already given to us. And Father, as we do that, won't you help us to realize just how important that is? How important it is that we participate in the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.